I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our third program in the series on men of the Bible that we can take lessons from. My dad, Pastor Salem, was so encouraged to read letters from our viewers and listeners. We are grateful to do the same. From Nebraska, I have listened to Pastor Salem for 10 years and have enjoyed the sermons so much. I appreciate them more now that I am in an independent apartment and have no car to get to church. Thank you for staying on television for me to watch. From Illinois, Pastor Salem always acknowledged that CWH services were a team effort. Please convey to each of them my ongoing gratitude for their contributions. They are a part of the mission to get God's word and the message of Jesus to all people. Thank you for your dedicated service. My love and continued prayers to you all. Today's message on Samuel, noblest man in the Old Testament, speaks to the life of Samuel and what we can learn from it. We hope this message will comfort you and give you hope and peace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're going to have a wonderful service today. We're going to be looking at Samuel. And he was one of the most noble men in all of the Old Testament. You just love Samuel. And so just plan on having we'll just have a wonderful service as we look at this great man of God. But first of all, we want to look at the psalmist who writes in Psalm 94, "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it." So, dear Heavenly Father, just thank you that you love us. Thank you that you lead us. We're the sheep of your pasture, and you always lead us through the paths of righteousness. And you lead us all the way through life, and when we come to the end of life, you take us through the valley of the shadow of death into that wonderful, wonderful place called heaven. And there we'll be with you forever, and we look forward to seeing our loved ones there. Oh, we just love you, dear Jesus, and we thank you that you made the way possible for us to come and join you. So bless us in this service. Bring many to know you as their Savior, and comfort those who may be having troubles. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song, "I'll Go Where You Want Me to Go, Dear Lord." Thank you, Jan, for singing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. And you know, that's the prayer of every believer, every Christian. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. That's the Christian life. And that's our goal. And when we walk that way and live that way, there's joy and peace and happiness and the joy of knowing that we're in, that God is with us, the Lord is with us, and we're doing His will. And so wherever you are, whoever you are, if you've never accepted Jesus and you don't have Jesus in your life, I'm just praying that during this service you'll pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I'm sorry for my sins and I'll forsake my sins. Just come into my heart and take away my life, take away my sins, and I'll give you my life. I'll serve you, and then thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. I was 10 years old when I prayed that prayer, something like that. Jesus came into my heart and I had peace. I had joy. And He's been with me for 85 years. Think of that. I wish I'd have been in a perfect life, but I didn't. I've had times I've strayed, and there's times I've sinned, and I'm sorry. And every time I go back to Him and I tell Him I'm sorry and confess my sins, He promised in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we commit a sin 1,000 times, He'll forgive us every time, because His grace is greater than our sin. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You can't get beyond the grace of God. Oh, what a one. Isn't that a glorious gospel? Nobody else has it in all the world. All the religions of the world don't have that. Christianity, that's the answer, because it's Jesus. Well, we get letters. Oh, we just thank you for the letters. We read every one. We get about 100 a day as a rule, and maybe a little more. I don't know just exactly. And some of them have just a check in it, and that we're grateful for that because I have to have your help. And but then others will write and maybe have a question or something, or maybe want to tell how we've been a blessing to them. We read every one of them. God bless you. So here's some of the letters. First one I want to read is from Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. And this person writes, I watch the Christian Worship Hour every week, and pastor said, ask the Lord how much to give. And I said, maybe. And I said, maybe a little less. And God says, no, I know how much you can give. I said, oh, I like that. Isn't that something? God knows. And just ask Him. And you say, well, I never heard the Lord speak. I never heard any voices. Well, I've never heard God's voice either. I've never heard an audible voice. But just in your heart, you'll have that feeling, this, I ought to do this, or I ought not to do this. Or He'll guide us, you know. I wish God would have talked to me. Then I could say, I heard the voice of God, or I had a vision of God. And I could, boy, I could put that in my stationery and everything. But I haven't. That hasn't happened to me, but I have the Word of God, I have the promises of God, and I have the peace of God because I have the Holy Spirit. That's all you need. That's all you need. Well, let's see here. Here's Newport Richey, Florida. Please accept this note of thanks for personally taking my telephone call several days ago. Thanks, too, for your words of encouragement as I recommitted my life during our conversation. Now, I remember this, and this gentleman called. We talked about drifting away and coming back and recommitting our life to Christ. And all that simply means is that I know Jesus, but I've drifted away from Him, or maybe I'm getting lukewarm, and I recommit. I say, dear Jesus, I give you my life again. I give you everything I have. And this dear brother did that. Sometimes I pray with people and they accept the Lord. They pray to accept Jesus. I help them do that. I'll be glad to do that if you call. But if you want to, you write literature and write for literature. I'll give that in just a few minutes. Here is Lamar's, Iowa. Even though I'm sitting in my recliner, I truly feel like I'm in the Lord's presence. It's like being in church. Well, that's because the Holy Spirit is there. And all over the world, we have people like that. Now, if you can get to church, you ought to get to church. But sometimes you can't get to church. Sometimes health won't allow it. Sometimes distance and whatever the case is, and you have to worship by yourself. Well, you're in church because we're all gathered together around the throne of God, and everybody in our congregation of the Christian Worship Hour. We all call together. We gather in Jesus' name. And he says, I'll be in the midst of you. And so wherever you are, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, talks to one about this. He talks to somebody else about that. He talks to me about something else, convicts me of something, or tells me I should do something or stop doing something. That's just beautiful. And that's the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And he's a living God, and he knows all about us. Do you know something? God tells us that he has the stars of the sky, their names. He gave names to the sky, stars in the sky. And that's the stars in the skies like the sand by the seashore. How can that be? You can't understand it. You know why? Because we're not God. We're just little human beings here on earth. And this great, wonderful God knows the stars by numbers, by name, our hairs of our head by numbers. That is, if you lose a hair, you don't lose just a hair, you lose a number, maybe number 85, I don't know. Oh, what a great God we have. And he loves us. And he's given us the Bible, and he tells us about accepting his son, and he'll help us, and he'll walk with us, and he'll never forsake us when we take him into our life. Oh, isn't that good news? Where can you get news like that? One place, Christianity, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Well, let's see, Vancouver, Washington. Oh, listen to this. I'm 98 and a half years old. Good grief. I thought I was the oldest. I see, and this Wright says, I accepted Jesus in 1950 at a Billy Graham meeting. It took a lot of God's grace to get rid of all the garbage. I'm now waiting for the new heaven. There were so many times God could have left me, but he didn't. Thanks to his patience, I would like to get the new song. Now look at here. Look at here. There were many times God could have left me, but he didn't. I could say the same thing. I can say the same thing. I've had thoughts. I've said things. I've done things. He could have left me, but he didn't. You know why? He tells us that when we accept his son, Jesus, we become a child of God. We're born again when we accept Jesus. We're born again. And when we're born again, he comes and dwells within us. And he gives us the Holy Spirit within us. And he said, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever, forever. And so he said, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. And oh, when I fail Jesus, I'm sorry. And I tell him, but he's there all the time. He's there all the time. Now this person says, I'd like to get the new song. Now, let me tell you what the new song is. It's a little Bible study we put out every week, every month. Now, this month, our Bible study is 7 Reasons Why I Know I'm Going to Heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. 7 different reasons, all from the Bible, all from the Bible. And you say, well, I guess probably after you preach all the time, you sure get to heaven. Preaching doesn't have a thing to do with it. Not a thing to do with it. Nope, not a thing to do. I could have been a sheep herder. I could have been a lumberjack. I could have cowboy. I don't know what I could have been. That isn't, preaching doesn't make a bit of difference. It's when we accept Jesus, take Jesus into our heart. That's the key. That's the thing. And so this little Bible study, you can write to us. Now get your pencil and paper ready because we'll give you the address pretty soon. And you just write new song. And It's really wonderful. It's free and postpaid. We really ought to charge for it, but we're really nice people. We'd probably go broke, but we're nice people. And so you'll just write and we'll send it. Be glad to do that. Here's West Fargo, North Dakota. We have been watching your services for several years. Been so blessed by your simple from the Bible lessons each week. Thank you so much for your way of showing us the only way in our lives is through Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Savior. We'd like a copy of the information you send out on how to become a Christian. We have someone in mind for it. Thank you so much. So if you accept the Lord and you write to us, we'll send you some literature. We send you Billy Graham literature is what we do. What he uses in the Crusades, we send that out. Or if you want to witness somebody, we'll give you a little passage, a little booklet that you can use, and we'd be glad to send that free and postpaid. So you just let us know, and we'll work with you, and we'll bring people to Jesus. Well, let me see. Here is Tulsa, Oklahoma. Here is a love offering, not very much, but maybe it will help a little. I'm sending it from the Seventh-day Pentecostal House of Prayer. My husband is 91 years old. I'm 84. We took care of the church for 30 years. Just think that, took care of the house of God for 30 years. Isn't that wonderful? If you have a church custodian, you better just thank them, because that's a hard job to clean up after all these Christians throwing stuff around. God bless them. The custodian, not the Christians throwing stuff around. Don't bless them. Don't misunderstand me. Let's see. Here's Cheyenne, Wyoming. I sold some vacation time back so I could have some extra cash to buy stuff, so I'm sending extra on the tithe. The tithe. I get the people right, and they say, what is this tithe business? Well, Jesus taught us. He told us in Matthew 23, verse 23, you ought to tithe, you ought to give a tenth. Now, that's the minimum. And if you make a lot of money, you ought to give a lot more. He tells us in 1 Corinthians that as God hath prospered us, and some of you making a lot more than you need, and give it to the Lord's work. You say, well, he wants me to send him money. Well, yeah, we want you to send some money, but you can send it somewhere else if you want to, just so you give a tithe. 10% is the Lord's. And I know you say, times are tight. It's tough going. I know it is. I'm a child of the Depression. We were so poor we couldn't buy a postage stamp. And I remember one Christmas we had no presents. But Mother always gave 10%. And God will bless you for it and you'll feel better. And that's what this dear person, Cheyenne, Wyoming, sold vacation time, gave the tithe. Then let me see, here's one more we want to share with you. And this is from a prisoner in St. Paul, Minnesota. And writes, hello, I'm a 20-year-old inmate. I just got locked up. I was a half-believer, but I got locked up and became a newfound Christian. I hate that it took so long to find God, but I know God welcomed me with open arms. I am also now a spiritual leader. It's a weird feeling, but a great feeling. I'm going to end this letter like Paul. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. We hear from a lot of prisoners, people in prison. I always write and tell them that St. Paul was in prison at one time, but he witnessed for the Lord in prison. So if you're in prison, just use that as an assignment from God that you're going to witness to those people that you talk to. And tell them about what you say, well, I've never been to Bible school. Well, listen, if you have accepted Jesus, that's all you need. You tell them what Jesus means to you, see? And they can, if you talk theology, they can argue you all day long. They love to argue. But if you tell them that Jesus, what Jesus did for you, they can't argue with that because you know it. It's happened to you. So just talk about Jesus. And you write to us and we'll send you the new song. That's a little Bible study. And let me give the address right now. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift, we'd appreciate it, because the only source of income we have is from God's people. And I know what you say. Well, what if I send him some money and he spends it on a new car? What if I send him some money and he gets a sports car? I'm 95 years old. You think I'm going to buy a sports car? I'll buy some Geritol if I buy anything. And so, I'm telling you, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. I'm going to tell you something. They check our books. They audit our books. They not only audit our books on what we take in, but they check exactly what we spend. And if we don't spend it the way we say we're going to spend it, they won't let us be a member. But we're a full member of the Evangelical Council Financial Accountability. You can get it on the website. You can read all about it. So you need to think about it. And if you want to send it over the internet, you can. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and on there it'll say donate. And that means you're going to give us something. And you check that and you send it in. If we got a gift from Norway, got a gift from the Philippines, got a gift from Germany, and it'll come in American currency and we can pay our bills. So you write to us if you want the new song, if you want to help us. We need it. I'm going to give it again for the people on shortwave radio. Shortwave radio is Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, good old South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. So now Jan's going to play, and you ask God what you should do. And when I'm going to pray, and we'll leave it all in the hands of God. That's all we need to do. Dear Jesus, thank you for all who are supporting this work. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1. And this is a story about Samuel and how his mother is dedicating him and leaving him at the temple to be a servant of God. And what a servant he turned out to be. One of the greatest men in the whole, in all of the Old Testament. And you're going to love Samuel, going to preach a sermon about him. I just love to talk about the Bible, and Samuel is one of my favorites. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Syria. Oh, the poor dear people. Oh, even the unsaved, we feel sorry for the unsaved. We weep for them too. But our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially, there's a burden for them. And don't give up. Just know that. And your standing for the Lord makes us stronger. It challenges us. And they say, oh, if they can do that, we can do it here in America or wherever you might be. And so that would be Syria. So we're reading 1 Samuel, beginning with the 24th verse. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Bah, for this godly mother, Hannah. And now she has this little boy, and she's prayed for him. And she's told you that if you would give her a son, you would dedicate him to God, and you'd put him in that temple to be a priest. And so she was faithful to that calling. And then we read about that little boy who becomes a man, and the great man of God that he was. We're just thankful for her, that we just pray that you'll help us to be as dedicated as Hannah, that you'll help us to give ourselves to you, because, Lord, we're really nobody unless we have God, unless we have you. And so we just pray that you'll just help us to be that kind of person. And, Lord, we want to pray for today for young people. We're just thinking about them and this and their the decisions they have to make and all of the temptations they have. Lord, we didn't have those 85 years ago, and now they're against some hard times. But your spirit is always greater than this situation. And you will help them through. Help them to just trust you, to receive you, draw strength for you. And the shut-ins, and the lonely, and the weary, and the bereaved. Oh, Lord, the devil is causing so much grief in this world. Let have everybody turn to Jesus and find comfort and help. That's our prayer in our service today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Has he ever failed to see you through in your darkest hour? Has the Savior ever failed to be strong and your mighty tower? Has he ever left you in dark despair? When you called on him, did you find him there? Has he ever failed you, child of God? Has he ever failed you yet? Then why the tears? Knowing God help you. Then why? But when troubles come, get your head off the ground. Look up to the sky, let the Savior dry the tear-stained eyes. When it seemed your heart would almost break, did he comfort you? And when it seemed your load was more than you could take, did he lift it for you? When you thought you carried your cross alone, did you hear him say, you're not alone? Has he ever failed you one time? Has he ever failed you yet? Then why the tears? Troubles come, you got your head to the ground. Look up to the sky, let your Savior dry your tear-strained eyes. Yes, look up to the sky, let the Savior dry your tear-strained eyes.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And isn't that a wonderful message? Jesus cares. And when those tears come, just go to Jesus. And he's one who loves you, and he's one who can comfort hearts and to see you through the hard times. And he's always able to be equal to the occasion, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. What a wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Just praise his name. I want to talk about Samuel today. And this man, Samuel, is one of the greatest and the noblest men in the Old Testament. And he is the last and the greatest of the judges. and he's also the first of the line of prophets. Now, there were other prophets before him, such as Moses and Miriam and Deborah and Ehud, but Samuel is called the first of the prophets because he was the first who started a line of prophets, and it remains to this day. Jeremiah evidently considered Samuel to be the greatest since Moses because he talks about it in that sense. And Samuel succeeded the priest Eli, and it seems as though Samuel was the only one in Israel who was qualified to offer sacrifices to God. He was that important a man, and the nation was in that kind of a spiritual condition. Samuel was the son of Elkanah, a pious Ephraimite. His mother's name was Hannah. Hannah was a very godly woman, and she'd been childless. And that was the most terrible thing that could happen to a woman, was to be childless. She was saddened because every Hebrew woman prayed for children. And she prayed for children because she always thought that maybe through her line, her bloodline, that the Messiah would come, the Messiah of Israel would eventually come. So she's a pious Jewish woman, but she has a great catastrophe because she does not have a child. And so Hannah makes this a matter of great prayer, and she begs God for a son. And she tells God that if you give me a son, then I promise that I will do that. I will dedicate him to your service, to God's service. If you just give me a son, I'll do that. She promised that as soon as the child was weaned, she would bring him to Shiloh. She said that she would dedicate him as a Nazarite, and she would leave him with the priest Eli, and he could minister in the house of the Lord with Eli. And so it was that God, in his great mercy, heard Hannah's prayer, and she had a son, was born. And Hannah names her precious little son Samuel, which means name of God or godly name. And it may have been a part of a sentence that Hannah spoke when the baby was born. Maybe she had said something like, I ask for him a godly name, or I have asked him of the Lord, whatever it is. Because she loved God, and she knew that this was an answer to her prayer, if there ever had been an answer. So Samuel is a child, and he's prayed for before his birth. And God in his mercy granted then the prayer of this mother, and Samuel is born. When Samuel is weaned, she took him to Shiloh, to the temple, to serve God, just as she has promised. She kept her word. And over my ministry, I've seen those who promised God that if he raised up their child or helped them through some sickness, they'd serve him. And God answered their prayer, but they never kept their word. I've seen it many a times. They just forgot. Hannah didn't forget. And so Hannah was weaned. She took him to Shiloh, to the temple, to serve God. Just how old Samuel was, we do not know. Some say he was 2 or 3 years old. Others say that he was 12 to 14 years of age. We really don't know. Probably the answer is somewhere about in the middle. He was, at any rate, he was a very young lad, and Hannah kept her promise. Hannah took her little son to the temple, and she formally dedicated him to God's service. So the little child Samuel is left to the temple with the priest Eli. Now, not much is known of Eli. He was the priest there, and he was a pious old man, and he was nearing the age of 90. And he had two sons who were wicked sons, good-for-nothing sons, and they served in the priesthood in Shiloh. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas. And these two sons of godly Eli were about as low and wicked as anyone can imagine. And they were very typical of Israel of that day, because under that they ruled the judges. And in that day, this was their motto. They did that which was right in their own eyes, and they had a horrible situation in Israel. And that's what we have in the United States of America today. Everybody does what is right in their own eyes. If it feels good, you do it. If you want to do it, get out of my way. I'm going to do it. And it was a horrible mess in poor, godly America. Pray for America and pray for other nations, but pray for America because this is doing in their own eyes and they're leaving God out. And so that was the kind of situation they had when Hannah left her little son Samuel. And Samuel then became a servant of the aged Eli. And so he would open the doors of the temple in the morning and he closed them at night and he did some of the chores around there, start learning the ways of the priest. And then the Bible tells us that every fall, every year without fail, the dear mother would come to the temple to worship and to see her little son. And she always brought a coat for him, a coat that she had made herself. And each year the coat was a little bigger and a little bigger until at last she brought a man's coat. The faithful love and care of a mother, too much can't be told about Hannah, a woman who loved God and prayed to God. Never underestimate the prayers of a mother, the power of a mother's prayers. And if you have a wayward child today, and I had a woman just in this last week worrying about a child, I said, pray, you just pray. Give them to God's hands and pray. And I think God hears mothers, and I think children. I think God listens to children the most because they are so innocent and they are so believing that God just can't turn them down. And so I just think that God hears the prayers of those little people. I know he does. And so just when it took place, we don't know, but while he's still a lad, the Lord came to Samuel at night and spoke to him, brought him a message. Three times the voice comes. Samuel hears someone calling his name, and he goes to the old priest Eli. Now he's about 97 years of age. And he is failing in his eyesight. And the third time, and Samuel says, I hear this voice calling my name. And he says, just go back to bed, go back to sleep. He did that. Then the third time, the old priest says to answer, he says, if his name is called again with the words, say, answer it and say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Just a little boy. But you know what? That was Samuel's lifetime. Whenever God spoke to him with a message, he was listening and he would deliver it and speak it. And he had some hard cases that we're going to see where he had to be true to God. Speak, thy servant heareth. And then God gave Samuel a message of judgment upon Eli and his two wicked sons, a sad message, but one that was sorely needed because of the sins of the people and the sins of Eli. The lad Samuel was undoubtedly awestruck. Terrible judgment was coming upon Eli and his two sons. And the young lad must have truly wondered as he went back to his little cot and laid down the rest of the night, how am I going to tell Eli this? How can I say it? So God talks to Samuel in the night. In the morning, Samuel is about doing his business of opening the gates of the temple and also fearful to tell Eli the message that has been given him. He doesn't know what to say. But Eli has a premonition that something isn't right and that he's had some word from the Lord. Earlier, God had warned Eli, and he said, God had told, before your little Samuel even came, God had told Eli, he said, Eli, if you don't discipline your sons and if you don't cleanse the way of life and the way they've lived, unless they did that, Samuel said, both of them, God told Eli, your sons are going to die unless you straighten them out. So he knew he had that message, but he didn't obey. So he just knew something was wrong. So Eli knew the judgment was coming. And when Samuel gave him the message he had received from God, we read, Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. Then Samuel grew to be a young man. He He also grew in stature before God and before the people of Israel. And God let the people of Israel know that Samuel was to be the prophet of God. And we are told in the scriptures, and Eli and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of God. And so how it happened, we don't know, but God just made it known. Samuel is my prophet, and you need to listen to him. Thus it was as Samuel grew before the Lord, and God revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So we're told in 1 Samuel 3:21. So God now is going to do some works, and he opens the doors, and the Philistines come, and they attacked Israel. And the judgment of God is coming. The first attack comes at Ebenezer. The Israelites suffer a great defeat, and about 4,000 men are left dead in the battlefield. And the Israelites are stunned, and they don't know what to do. And before they go into the next battle with the Philistines, they take the Ark of the Covenant with them from the temple in Shiloh. And they superstitiously believe that if they have this Ark of the Covenant, that God will bless them in a special way, and they will, and the Philistines will be defeated. And so the next battle comes, and it's worse for Israel. And this time, 30,000 Israelites are killed. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, are slain. And the Ark of the Covenant is carried away by the Philistines. A crushing defeat. A messenger returns from the battlefield with the devastating news and tells the people in the city, and the whole city is aroused. And Eli, hearing the uproar of the people, calls for the messenger. The messenger arrives, and Eli, now 98 years old, the messenger tells Eli that the Philistines had a great victory over Israel. He says that your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, have been killed. The Ark of the Covenant has been captured and carried away by the Philistines. And then we read in 1 Samuel 4:14-18. And it came to pass when he made mention of the Ark of God that Eli fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate. And his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. With the death of the old priest Eli, Samuel comes on the scene. Now he's alone. He's the lone prophet of God in Israel, Samuel. And we are told, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, and the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. And so it is that Samuel now begins to rule and lead in Israel. So he leads as their judge and their prophet. He's a man that is totally be trusted. He's a man that is totally true to God. He's a man that was indeed a noble man, a true man, a godly man. In his old age, as Samuel set up his two sons to also serve as judges. And wouldn't you know it, their names were Joel and Abijah, and you can't believe it. But to godly Samuel, he has two sons of priests, and they are wicked men. And how that happens, I do not know, nor anybody knows. It's human nature, I guess. Godly Samuel had two sons, and they're evil sons. And after a time, the Israelites revolted against the sons and demanded to have a king instead of a judge. And so God instructs Samuel to anoint Saul to become Israel's first king. But Saul proved to be a failure. He was headstrong. He was vain. He was self-willed. He was selfish. He disobeyed God. As a result, God rejected his leadership and tells Samuel to anoint David. And he has to go to Saul and tell him that God has rejected you, Saul, and I'm going to have to anoint somebody else to be king. Samuel was true. It was difficult for Samuel because Samuel loved Saul to his dying day. He loved Saul, but he had to tell him, you're going to lose your kingdom and your sons because you've been wicked and disobeyed God. That's exactly what he had to tell him. And so it was the pattern and practice of his life. Samuel was always true. When God told him to say something, he said it. He never backed down. As a child, he learned to be obedient to God. He had to tell that old priest that hard message about his sons and about his ruling. Samuel then leaves Saul, and he has to do the same thing and tell Saul that this is going to be taken. And then some of the saddest words in the Bible are written when it says, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death." But Samuel never came to see Saul again. He mourned over him the rest of his life. And then God said, "I want you to go to a shepherd boy named David and anoint him," which he did. But Samuel never lived to see David and the great kingdom that he had. And we read that Samuel died and all Israel mourned. And we're told that he was buried in his own house. And that simply means that he was buried in the lot where he lived, the land on which he lived. And a specially erected tomb was made. So passes from the scripture, Samuel, godly Samuel, Israel's greatest judge and greatest, one of the greatest of the prophets. And so we want to look at his life. And from his life, we are told, first of all, that God has always the center of Samuel's life. Nothing else counted to Samuel except that he was seeking first his God. Jesus later on said when he was here, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That was the way it was in Samuel's life. He was constantly in touch with God. And he was always thought upon his word and what God said. Samuel's whole life revolved around God. There was nothing else in his life but God. And that's, my friend, the way you need to live and the way I need to live. We need to live that way. We need to live so that we think about the name of Jesus and think about Jesus all the time. That will this please Jesus? Is this all right with Jesus? What would Jesus do in this situation? Would to God we would have the Lord God. What does he want me to do today? That's the way we have to live. Be ever conscious of his presence. And that's why God tells us, pray without ceasing. That means always be close to God. Always have your thoughts on God. A prayer will be as simple as drawing your breath, as simple as that. If we have closeness with Jesus Christ and closeness with God. And that's the way Samuel lived. He practiced what he preached. And he told Israel, "Turn not aside from following the Lord. Serve the Lord with all your heart." That means follow the Lord closely with all your heart. Follow the Lord closely. Never deviate. Never turn from the path. Serve the Lord always. Are you busy for the Lord? How much time do we give to the Lord? How much money do we give to the Lord? What are we doing for Christ and his church today? With all your heart, put your heart into it and enjoy it and make it not that it's a burdensome thing. Follow Jesus. Serve God with all your heart. And then Samuel always spoke as God wanted him to speak. That is, he always gave God's message, whether it was guidance and direction or whether it was reproof and correction, whether it felt good or whether it burned like fire. Samuel said what God told him to say, word for word and line for line every time. So it was that Samuel, as a little lad, went to the old priest Eli. He had to give him a message that his priesthood would end, that his sons would die, and that he himself would die. He had to do that. It was a hard message. But Samuel gave it just like God told him to do it. And then later on, he goes to Saul. He went to King Saul. He told him that his kingdom would be torn from him. He told him that he had failed God, that judgment was on the way. It was that Samuel went before Israel and called them back to God. He was always faithful to God, and that's what every pastor needs to do too. Some people will not like it if you preach against their cherished sin, if you preach against their selfishness, if you preach against hoarding their money, and give, if you preach about giving at least 10% to God, they become angry. But never, we must never stop the message, no matter what. You may hate the messenger. You had better listen to the message that God gives. Samuel didn't worry about what man would do to him, nor should I, nor should you, fellow pastor friend of mine. You preach that word as God lays it on your heart. Listen to God and be faithful to him. And I want to tell you something. When it comes time to, really comes to bitter times, people are going to look for that pastor that preaches the word of God and that is faithful to God in his teachings no matter what. So it was with Saul. Saul, you see, now Samuel is gone. And Saul, he's looking around and he's searching for someone to guide him. He's going to have a battle the next day. He doesn't know which way to turn, but Samuel is dead. He can't go to Samuel. And so where does he go? To a witch that lived at Endor, an evil witch. And the witch says to Saul, "Whom shall I call up?" And you would think Saul would say, somebody great like Moses or some great man of the past. Who does he want her to call up? He wants her to call up Samuel. Call up Samuel, he cries out. The man who had faced him squarely and told him what the score was, that's the man he wants to see. And they may not always agree with you, and they may be angry with your message, but I'm going to tell you, when they come to face death, when they come to face death, when they come to face eternity, when they come to face God, they want somebody that preaches the word of God and that teaches the word of God. Friend, we need to live so close to God that when the storm clouds come, we can turn to God. That's the only one who can help us. That's the only way we can do it. We will turn to God. And we, this God, it's easy to turn to God because we've been talking to him all the time. We've been living with him all the time. We've been serving him all the time. We've been doing his will the best we could all the time. It's easy to turn to God. It's just as plain as day. You have to have that. And you can't call up Samuel or somebody to help. You have to have your own faith. You can't use the faith of Samuel. You can't use the faith of your parents or your spouse or your friends. You're on your own. Samuel had it. Saul didn't have it. Do you have it? If not, start today. Right now, pray, God in heaven, I am sorry, I'm a sinner. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake my sin and I'll walk with you and follow you the best I can. And you thank him. And then you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You write to us, send us a gift to help us on the way. Pray for us. If you accept the Jesus, then we'll send you some literature to help you get started. If you don't understand something right, we'll send you literature. And we'll keep in contact with you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the multitudes that are praying right now and taking you into their heart. Give them the joy and the peace that comes with walking with Jesus. And Lord, now we're going to pray also for those who are on beds of sickness. And those who are old and can't get around. And those who are lonely, Lord. There's a lot of lonely people. We're praying for the young people, Lord, that have special temptations. We're praying for those that are young people that are caught up into some awful thing. That you'll help them to turn to you and you'll help them to deliver them from them. They can beat it if they trust you. Dear Lord, we pray for your persecuted church all over the world. We just love you, Lord, and we pray that you'll bless and help as we turn to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for letting us worship with you today. Thank you for opening your heart to us and open your heart to Jesus. Thank you for the help you're giving. Thank you for your prayers. And the Lord willing, we'll be back next week. But it's always as the Lord wills. Maybe he'll come this week. Maybe he'll take us home this week. Well, it doesn't make a bit of difference, does it? Because we're ready to meet God. We're anxious to meet God. We'd like to see Samuel and the great saints of the Bible. So God bless you as you trust Jesus and lean on him. And we'll pray for you because we love you. God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're carrying this service. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.